Friend of mine and I were talking about a need in his life. I felt, I don't know if it was or not, I didn't say the Lord told me, I just said I felt. But since I have conversed with him, I couldn't get the thought off of my mind. So tonight I'm going to preach to help my friend and everybody else that's here. All right, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, and then we'll be turning to the book of Hebrews, and our last scripture will be from the book of Romans. All right, verse 44. If you have your Bible, read along with me if you will. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Then the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Think about that. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Then Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Again, to set our thought, the man who had bought the field or found the treasure in the field, the Bible says, he hideth it. In other words, he put it back where he found it. He hid it again because he would have had no legal right to that treasure. It being on somebody else's land that he didn't own, he would have had to give the treasure back to the person who owned the land. So he hid the treasure back, knowing it was in the land. And he went, the Bible said, and for joy, and for the joy of knowing that he was going to buy the land and get the treasure with the land, selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. For he knew that the treasure was going to make him richer than what he was when he possessed everything that he had at that moment. So what does he do? He forfeits what he has now called his possessions, and goes and buys a field. But what everybody else doesn't know about the field, he does. And for joy, sells all he hath, and buyeth the field. You see, in the book of Hebrews, no one would have thought there was any joy in the cross, in dying, in suffering, in being ridiculed, in being beaten. There was no joy as man knows it. But yet the Bible tells us, look at the odd place that joy comes out. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Notice Jesus done it for joy of what would be accomplished. Amen. The one man for joy sells all he has, buys the field, that with it he may have the treasure. Jesus, for the joy, gave up his life, giving his total all, that from the sacrifice of himself, he being the ransom for many, might bring into existence a church that would multiply millions of saved, redeemed, heaven-bound Christians. Amen. He sold what he had and paid the price that he may sit down at the right hand of God and be the first mourned among the dead. Amen. Then the book of Romans says, for the kingdom of God, which is what we are in, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, there's some things that we're going to have to endure. There's some things that we're going to have to sell out to in order to purchase. Amen. There's some things that we must with joy do it, or it will not have any real, genuine ring to it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How much joy do you possess? Enough to sell out? How much joy do you possess? Enough to endure? How much joy do you have? Enough to keep you from fainting? Amen? Hello? You see, in the day that we live, there's a lot of mechanical joy. There's a lot of leadership joy. Amen. Where the leader of the service says, let us, will you stand up, sit down, raise your hand, get a song. Amen. Follow me. But that's mechanical joy. When the church doors close behind us and we go out into service for the Lord, and the world that's facing us is mean and ornery and sinful and treacherous. Amen. Do we have enough joy to endure the contradiction of sinners? Amen. Do we have enough joy to keep from fainting between Sunday and Tuesday, and between Tuesday and Thursday, and between Sunday and Sunday? I say that because there's some folks who only come from Sunday to Sunday. They got to have a lot. Amen. They're almost super Christians that don't come but Sunday and Sunday. Amen. I would be venturous to say, my friend, that you eat more, amen, physical food than what you do spiritual food. Because if you only eat Sunday, you don't get nothing else to eat till Sunday, man, you'd be hungry enough to eat anything. Then there's those that come Sundays and Thursdays. Then we got those that come Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, amen, and all the other free days, including Sunday. Amen. Woo! Got a good note going there, don't I? Well, let me just proceed on anyway. You see, the reason we live in this day and our Christianity is not so popular is because we've lost the main ingredient that sells it, joy. Christianity's done a great disservice when Christians walk around with a long face, clothed in black, like they've just got out of a funeral. Amen. The world's got enough trouble. They don't need any more. What they need to see is a light. A light that shines from a heart that's full of joy. Not just joy over something good that's happened to you, but joy over a person. There's a difference between the joy that we have that's produced by singing and merriment. Amen. There's a joy of a person. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. We rejoice in Him who hath done such a wonderful thing for us. Amen. The first thing that you must take note in and have real joy in is the joy in your salvation. Amen? I'm not sad that I'm saved. I'm not sad that I'm not with the world. I'm not sad that I don't go with the world. I'm not sad that the world don't go with me. Amen? What I need is just more of what I've got. Amen? You see, the Bible tells us that we need joy in our salvation. Amen. The 70 went out. Do you remember that? And they came back rejoicing that devils were subject to them. Jesus said, don't rejoice just because you have power over devils, but rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. Jesus said, don't rejoice so much in service. Don't rejoice so much in power, but rejoice because you know that your name is written in the book of life. Amen? Do you realize tonight, church, that joy has to have a foundation just like a house? You don't set a house down on the ground and expect the floors to stay level. You don't set a house on the ground and expect the corners to stay square. You've got to anchor that house to a sure foundation. If your joy isn't anchored to a very personal work that God has chosen you out of the world and chosen you to Himself, that He may give you to His Son, and that He paid a terrible price, amen, through the sacrifice of His Son, that you might be saved, then you really don't have anything worth rejoicing over. But if you know that you were once in the darkness of this world, and you were a slave to sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed you and purged you from all your sins, and His Spirit is now bearing witness with your spirit that you are now a son of God. My, it's enough to make your hands want to jump up in the air and say, hallelujah, I'm saved. Amen. You say, well, what do you do on a rainy day? I'm still saved. Right. What do you do on a snowy day? I'm still saved. What do you do when you get a year older? I'm still saved. Amen. Amen. What do you do when you get older and your body aches? I'm still saved. Right. Nothing around me affects my salvation. Amen. Come on now, church. You know the gospel truth is that when we lose the joy of the sacrifice that Jesus paid for us, we are going to run out of strength. You won't endure without knowing somebody endured for you. You won't put up, amen, with sinners contradicting you until you know that the one who died for you and loved you went through hell to save you. And then when you realize how much He loved you, it will produce a joy in your heart for His salvation. Oh, say, but I'm glad Jesus has saved me. I know I'm saved. Amen. I said, I know I'm saved. Some folks said, you don't go to my church, so I don't know that you are. What's your church got to do with it anyway? Amen. The Bible tells me that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Amen. I'm not interested in your church. I'm not interested in your denomination. I'm not interested in your fellowship. I'm wanting on that rock. Amen. Where Jesus puts His church. Amen. You said, can you know that you're saved without belonging? Yeah, I know I'm saved because I belong to God. The Bible said, no man can come unto me except my Father's Spirit draw him. Do you know, my friend, the night that burdens of sin rolled away, that I would have had a physical choice, I would have chose to go out in the dark, but love just wouldn't let go of me. Amen. Love kept tugging at my heart. Love kept constraining me. Love kept saying, think it over. Think it over. Don't turn this down. This may be your last chance. And love lifted me out of a pit of horrible shame and washed my sins away. Hey, you say, now, Brother Benny, what kind of love? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That same God that loved me drew me with cords of love out of a terrible sin. Hallelujah, washed me and established my goings. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I know that I know I'm saved. Yes, I do. Amen. He said, now what about if you have a bad day? It don't change my salvation. Amen. What if everybody turns against you? That don't change my salvation. There's only one thing that can change my salvation, and that's sin. Amen. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. The soul that sinneth it shall surely die. Amen. If I love him more than I love sin, I love him more than I love the world, I love him more than what the world can do for me, I love him more than what the devil's temptations and tempters can come, amen, in tempting me, then if I can say no to my temptations, amen, I will not lust, amen. And if lust is not in my heart, it cannot conceive, amen, and bring forth sin, and sin cannot bring for death, so I'm going to be alive forevermore, for he gave me eternal life. Not a week, not a month, but eternal life is mine. You see, the Bible tells us that we ought to know if our name is written, and if we do know, then we are to be joyful that we do know. And do you know it? How many tonight know that you're really saved? Woo! You know that and you can't say amen. You know that and you can't say praise God. You know that and you can't say glory. Amen. Me and Brother Red, no, all we can do is keep our feet on the floor. Amen. Woo! Gets down in your feet and gets all up in your hands. Gets down in your tongue and it comes out your mouth. Amen. It gets all over you and you just can't keep from hollering, hallelujah! Thank God that's me! I got saved! Amen. You say, now what, Brother Benny? Yes, 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 I understand that. But there's no joy without faith. If I believe it, I'll confess it. And that's not charismatic. Hey man, that's just old time holiness. Right. I'm not going to talk about something I don't believe, but let me believe it and you can't keep me from talking about it. Right. Amen? Right. That's right. The Bible said that the disciples had a bout with unbelief. Amen. And they come out without joy. For the Bible says that Jesus showed them his hands and his feet, that he was truly arisen from the dead. And you know what the Bible says in Luke 24 and 41? For while they yet believed not for joy. Amen. There they had his hands and his feet, yet they believed not for joy. Did you hear me? They believed not for joy. Do you believe? What more would it take to convince you that Jesus was alive from the dead than to be able to feel him, to handle him? Amen. They seen the nail prints, yet they believed not for joy. But what happens between that 41st verse, amen, as you drop on down to the 50th, and after he gets through that 40 days journey with them, the Bible takes it up again. He said he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while it came to pass, And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Amen. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. When your faith is anchored in Jesus Christ, you can have a joy with great faith, and you can have a great faith with an equally great joy. Amen. Can anybody say amen?
Amen?
Now, you're not going to rejoice in what you don't believe. No, no, no. If I was to offer a car and say, now I'm just going to draw a name out of the hat and just give the car to whoever name is drawn out, and your name just happened to be in the hat, and I was to draw your name out, said the car's yours. You didn't rejoice when you put it in. You didn't rejoice when the hand went in the hat. You didn't rejoice when the hand came out with a name. But when you heard your name and you had faith to believe that that car was yours, it already produced a rejoicing in your heart that you had received something. Well, let me tell you, I know I'm saved. What does my faith and my salvation produce? But a joy of my salvation. I know that I'm saved. I know that if I die right now, I wouldn't go to hell. I'd go to heaven. Amen. I'm rejoicing because my name is above. I'm a citizen of another world. I'm just waiting for the plane to come or the rapture to come to take me home to my house. Amen. Where I can live with my people and sing my songs and live my life. Here I'm a stranger. Here I'm a pilgrim. But my faith is in a citizenship that I've never seen yet. But one day, bless God, my name's going to be called. I'm going to answer, here am I. And when it does, I'm going to move in to a far better land. Don't think you have a hard time having great joy then. Amen. Right now I'm rejoicing by faith. It's something I've not seen, yet I believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Well, let me read you some more. John the Baptist had some joy. Do you know that? John the Baptist had some joy. His joy was not in his miraculous birth that he got the Holy Ghost from his mother's wound. No, that wasn't what made John rejoice. In the third chapter of John, he said, as he was speaking to his disciples, he said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Amen. John said, I'm happy just to be his friend.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, let me tell you some more. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, for a servant knoweth not what his master doth, but I call you friend. Hallelujah. John said, I'm just going to rejoice because I'm his friend.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He said, I don't have to have anything else to have great joy. I don't have to have anything else to fulfill my joy except that I'm his friend. We sang that old song, or used to sing that old song. Oh, what a friend I have in Jesus. Amen. Well, we sung it like we believed it, and we believed it like we sung it. Amen. Come on now, church, and help me preach. I said we sung it like we believed it, and we believed it like we sung it. When we got in trouble, we didn't run to a stranger. We didn't take it to the street. We got down and talked to our friend. Hallelujah. We got down and called on the name of our elder brother. Say we had a friend in the high court of heaven. We had a friend that loved us at all times. We had a friend that we could come to at any time. Oh, that's a joy to know I've got a friend in heaven that knows me by name.
be saved. I've got a friend in heaven that wants me to reign with him. I've got a friend in heaven that calls me to the throne of grace so we can talk one to another like friend to friend. Woo! He must increase. I must decrease. But that doesn't decrease my joy. It only increases it. Amen. Oh, I wish you'd help me. Jesus had joy. And Jesus' joy was His alone. He never said anyone gave it to Him. He said, it's my joy. Listen as he speaks in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Huh, church? Amen. I remember that time, I don't know who it was. Sister Sutherland probably does, but I don't know who it was. Gave her a start of some sort of cake. It just kept on getting worse. Amen. I'm not much of a cook. I get amazed just when she fixes a red velvet cake and puts all that stuff in there. And I said, there ain't nothing sweet going to come out of that mess. Vinegar and buttermilk and soda powder and different stuff that if you had asked me, will that taste good if you mix it together? I'd say, no, that ain't going to taste good. Amen. And the same way with the start of that cake, it was some sort of juice and it was just supposed to keep on and get better and get better and get better and get better. Amen. Now, I had a little sample of the cake and the cake wasn't bad, but the juice didn't seem like to me it was getting any better. Amen. In fact, it seemed like that nothing good could come out of that pot. Amen. Hello. Jesus was in the world, and His ingredients for His joy didn't suit the disciples. They wanted a kingdom. They wanted a king. They wanted royalty. They wanted trumpet blowing. They wanted to walk with Jesus and be recognized. Jesus said, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up a cross. Amen. You got to suffer. If you're going to reign with me, you got to suffer with me. Amen. If you're going to be great, you got to become small. If you're going to be the greatest, you're going to have to be the minister or servant of all. So Jesus pointed them to a joy that they wasn't for sure they wanted. But Jesus said, it's my joy. He rejoiced in being made a minister. He said, I come not to be ministered to, but to minister. Amen. He didn't come that folks would wash His feet. He came to wash disciples' feet and leave them an example. Come on now, church. He didn't come for somebody else to pack His cross. He took His own cross. Amen. Went up Golgotha's hill. Died on His own cross to this old cruel world. He died alone. He died without the Father. He died without the Holy Ghost. He died without His disciples. In fact, all you can find standing there sympathetic was His mother and John. Amen. And oh, my. The only time that you found Him ever saying anything that didn't look like joy was there on the cross in the darkness of the night when the sun hit its face and the stars refused to shine and darkness filled the earth. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But that was only momentarily, for His last words on the cross was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And He yielded up the ghost and died in the faith of the Father who loved Him. Hallelujah. There's a joy, amen, that was Jesus' joy. And He said, my joy, He said, I want it to remain in you. Believe me, amen, this is what He wanted, believing Him. Believe what He was going to say. For He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's what Jesus wanted. Is your joy full? Well, He gave you a start out of His joy. Amen. Come on now. He gave you a start out of genuine joy. Amen. Can you remember when you had your first love? Hey, can anybody remember when they had their first love? Did anyone have to tell you to say, praise God? Anybody have to tell you to say, amen? Anybody tell you to come to church? Tell you need to pray? You ought to read your Bible. No, we had a joy that was undeniably ours. And that joy packed us through our first trials and temptations. Our first victories was won by joy, because we rejoiced that we was counted worthy to suffer for Him. Amen. If somebody called us a holy roller, we didn't get mad or insulted or embarrassed. We just said, hallelujah, that's what I am. Amen. You're a tongue talker. We didn't bow our head and get red in the face. We said, yes, sir, that's what I am. Amen. You know, folks think it's terrible today to be Pentecostal. They'd rather have another kind of salvation. Amen. Because of the accidents and sins and miscarriages, amen, of a lot of people that's been associated with us. But the Bible tells us that if they were of us, they would have remained with us. Amen. They went out from us to prove that they never was really with us. Amen. We have a great line of enduring saints. Amen. We have great records of divine healing in our movement. They say, you just don't see it anymore. You're not in the right place at the right time, or you'd hear about divine healings. I'm not talking about going to the doctor and the doctor repairing you. Praising God because God guided the surgeon's hands, or God provided the medicine. I'm talking about undeniable proof of a divine intervention by God Almighty, amen, who came down and healed the sick, amen, and done great miracles among us. Come on now, church. It don't stop yesterday. We've got a heritage full, amen, of people receiving the Holy Ghost, of the gifts of the Spirit working, of the power of God raining down on us. And I'm said, I'm glad. I rejoice in the fact that I have the joy of Jesus Christ in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. John 16:20 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Hallelujah, there it is. Jesus said, I'm going to die, and you're going to be sorry. You're going to have sorrow like a woman with bearing a child and coming into child birth. Amen. But he said, just hold on. Just hold on. The world's going to rejoice when I die, but you hold on. Their joy is going to be turned into sorrow, and your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. Amen. Come on now, church. Are you helping me preach? Your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. And that joy no man taketh from you. Right now, if I was a brother carpenter, I'd probably rear back and start singing, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Recession can't take it away. Amen. Depression can't take it away. Economics can't take it away. A vote of Congress can't take it away. A World War I and a World War II and the Korean conflict and the Vietnam conflict couldn't take the joy out of a Christian's heart. And neither did the threat of Iran coming upon the scene take the joy out of a Christian's heart. We rejoice on tiptoe, for the Bible said, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Thank God the church ought to be on tiptoes. Amen. Of looking at the world and saying, hallelujah. A few more weary days and I'll be home. Hallelujah. A few more days and he that I've loved and never seen, I shall see for myself. And my joy shall be made complete when I sit at Jesus' feet and I realize my joy has seen me through the valleys, and my joy has seen me up the mountain, and my joy has been through conflict, and I rejoice with joy unspeakable and it full of glory.
Can the church say amen?
Yes.
Your sorrow shall be turned to joy, and your joy no man taketh from you. Listen to what he says in verse 24 of chapter 16 of John. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hey, hey, hey. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God, praise God, praise God. He said, now, son, when you seem to be running out of joy, son, when you seem to lose your song, son, when you seem like your last friend has walked away and forsaken you, when money seems to get hard to get and you're hard pressed to find anything around you to rejoice in, he said, just get down and remember my name. And when you address the Father and you ask the Father in my name, he said, the Father's going to remember I promised you joy, that I gave you my joy. And he said, I always rejoice because the Father has always answered my prayer. He said, I did always that which pleased the Father. He never refused me anything, for I never ask anything that wouldn't honor the Father. He said, you get down and you ask in my name. You remind the Father that I'm your Lord, and that you're my child, and that I'm your friend, and you're my friend, and that you're where I was one time. And you get down and you ask the Father and see if the Father won't answer your prayer. If he don't do it for any other reason, he'll remember my promise to you that I want your joy to be full. And the Father will empty heaven's treasury to bring down joy into your soul. If you'll just ask, not asking for yourself, not to consume it upon your own lust, but ask that the Son may be glorified. Ask that the Father may receive glory. Ask for the things concerning the kingdom. And see if the Father will not answer your prayer. And see that your heart will rejoice with a joy that you know only comes from a child who has received from the hand of his Father that which he has asked. Woo! Amen. That's the scripture, Brother Henson, that separates people who pray from people who play. People who pray get joy on their knees. People who pray, even in the midst of tribulation, rejoice. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Y'all not hearing me preach tonight, are you? You see, people who pray are people who have joy. They don't have joy in the world. They don't have joy in the things of the world. They have joy because the Father knows them and has witnessed to them that they are truly the children of God. For the Father has said, he will withhold nothing good from them that walk upright. And to them that delight in his law, he will give them the sincere desires of their heart. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no veritableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. Jesus promised us through the Apostle Paul, when Paul was talking about needs, he said, and my God shall supply all of your needs by his riches and glory through Jesus Christ. To him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or even think, amen, by the power that worketh through us, amen. What a joy there is to know that the power of God is not out of reach, but the power of God abides.
abides in my soul. What a joy there is in knowing that the Holy Ghost is resident in my life. What a joy there is in knowing that the third person of the Trinity, that great power working of God, is working through us to bring us into a state of lasting joy.
Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus prayed for us in John 17 and 13. He said, Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Hallelujah. You talk about where the rub meets the road. Right there you are. But Jesus said, I'm not asking you to take them out of it. They're going to have problems. They're going to have sore spots. The world's going to take a swing at them. The world's going to kick them when they get down. But I'm asking you to fulfill my joy in them. The joy that made me lay my hand out and give it to the nailer. The joy that made me stretch my feet out and give it to the rough soldier who would drive the nail through it. The joy that gave my cheek to the smiter. The joy that made me not open my mouth when they beat me, amen, until my vestige was so marred that I didn't resemble a man. A joy that made me not turn my face from their spitting, nor when they pulled a handful of hair out of my cheek. I uttered not one complaint, but was like a lamb or a sheep led to slaughter. Amen. Now that's a joy. That's a joy that produces strength. That's a joy that makes you strong. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. You say, now how does that affect me? Jesus said, I don't want them just to have their own joy. Their joy is going to run out. If I know them, Lord, their joy is going to run out. They're going to get mad. They're going to get sad. They're going to get up and they're going to get down. There's going to be days when they sing and days when they moan. There's going to be days when they trip and fall and days when they walked a wreck like a man. There's going to be days when they're broke and days when they're rich. You can't just have a joy of your own, because you will be induced to have that joy by what's happening around you. But Jesus said, if they have my joy wasn't affected by the world. It wasn't affected by suffering. It wasn't affected by what the world done to me. I kept right on walking towards the cross, because I knew at the end of the cross was a joy that awaited me like none other. If a woman has joy because she brings a man into the world, how much more joy did Jesus have when he got up out of the grave and brought with him all the Old Testament saints? And there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Daniel, amen, and the saints of old who had waited for the day when Jesus would get up out of the ground. You talk about a rejoicing in heaven. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. You talk about a wedding possession. He took the first fruits to heaven with him. And in the 24th Psalm, you can hear him as he says, lift up your head, ye everlasting gates, and be lifted up. And the sound came back from those gates. Why should we lift up our heads? And they said that the King of glory might enter in. Amen. This king triumphant, this king that's conquered, this king who died and loosed the prisoners from the pit, this king who died and ransomed, amen, us from death and hell and the grave, this king who promised to come again and receive us. I tell you, my friend, there's reason to rejoice. I tell you, my friend, there's reasons to shout. I tell you, my friend, there's reasons to dance, and there's reasons to run, and there's reasons to go on. Why? Because at the end of our journey, we'll find a joy awaiting us that cannot be compared. Woo! I think I ought to save this and tuck it to the black church and preached it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Listen to the Apostle Paul when he talks about the end of his life. And this is what Paul says. Amen. He talks about it, and when he gets down to the end of it, you know what he says? He said that the disciples, amen, when he shook the dust off of their feet, and they, and in 52nd verse of chapter 13 of Acts, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I can't hardly see anybody that's so sad and so sour, amen, ever getting the Holy Ghost. But I've watched person after person who with a rejoicing spirit, amen, receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost along with the fullness of joy. If you're going to be an old sour grape, ain't nobody going to pick you off the vine. Amen. Nobody likes to have a locked jaw. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. But if we'll rejoice in the fact that we're saved and sanctified and God's gave us a joy, it won't be long that if you'll rejoice, amen, you'll find a joy that'll fill your soul that becomes unutterable with the language, amen, that only God can give. Amen. You know that Paul said that he wanted to finish his course with joy. Amen. Verse 24, chapter 20 of the book of Acts said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." He said, "I want to finish my course with joy. I don't want to get old and get sour. I don't want to get old and say nobody wants to hear me preach." I'll tell you what folks like to see. They like to see somebody who really believes what they believe. That they can believe it in such a way that they can rejoice in what they believe. Amen. Come on, church. I'm about done. Don't grow weary with me. I just got a few more things I need to say to you. I've read to you Romans 14 and 17. Hey, for it said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." If you rejoice because you just eat a big meal, you ought to have the same joy because you got blessed. Amen. Amen. If you rejoice because somebody brings you a cold glass of ice water and you say, "Thank you, sir, oh my," and it makes you smile and it quenches your thirst, so should you realize that that didn't bless your soul. That just helped your natural body. But as sure as your body needs a drink of water and as sure as your body needs some meat, so does your soul. Amen. And if you'll put into your soul the substance of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, it won't be long, my friend, till you'll be strong enough to conquer mountains and make them move. Chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Did you know that was in your Bible? That now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There's some things that you've got to do, and one of them is you've got to believe. Do you believe what I'm preaching tonight? How many believes in the joy of the Lord? Anyone here believe in the joy of the Lord? Hey, man, I mean, you believe in the joy of the Lord. It's a bad day when there don't have no joy in your soul. Amen. Amen. I can have a flat tire, but I can get over the flat tire. Amen. But I have a flat soul. Amen. I'm backslid. Amen. I can't stand a flat soul. Amen. Come on now. I can have a flat tire. And change it, but I can't pump up a hole in my soul that's been there through malnutrition, amen, wasted away until I'm skin and bones, and amen, got no strength in my soul to raise my hands, ain't got no strength in my soul to walk, ain't got no strength in my soul to clap, don't have no strength in my soul to sing, amen, don't have no strength in my soul to hunt up a scripture, amen, or to recite a psalm, don't have no strength in my soul to come to church. I'd rather stay home and kick back in an easy chair than to get up and say, "Soul, let's be glad and rejoice and go to the house of the Lord. Let's enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with joy." Amen. Let's get us a song and go to Zion. Let's be a happy pilgrim and show the world we're on our way.
Let's not sit down and get gloomy. Let's go to the house of God and rejoice. Let's get us a songbook and sing. Let's get us a praise and testify. Let's get us a scripture and quote it. Let's tell God what we think about Him and our journey to a land that's brighter than this one.
Galatians 5 and 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. Amen. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Amen. Philippians 1 and 4 says, always at every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. You say, I don't like to pray. Mix some joy with it and see how you do. Amen. I just get tired of praying. Mix some joy in it and see how you do. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Do you hear me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let me preach some more. Philippians 1 and 25 says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be abundant in Jesus Christ for me and by my coming to you again. Paul said, the furtherance and joy of faith. Now there's the furtherance and the joy of faith. You can't have faith without joy, and you can't have joy without faith. Amen. Amen. All right, then let's go a little bit further. Chapter 4 and verse 4 says, Paul saying to those church at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. Hear the command? Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Brother Benny, you mean you can rejoice in the Lord always?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's see if we can or not. Jesus said, lo, I am with you. How long?
Always.
Same word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, is he going to be by my side? The book of Hebrews said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'm with you, whether you can feel me, see me, or anything else. Let your faith reach for me, and you'll know I've never left you. Why? Because David Livingston said over in the dark continent of Africa, amen, when he was there away from his homeland and by himself, and the natives were threatening to overrun him and kill him, he was thinking about just sneaking out at night, and he said after prayer, he said he found the scripture of Matthew, and he said, lo, I am with you always. David Livingston stood up and said, it's the word of a perfect gentleman. It's the word of the highest caliber of man. He said, then why should I fear and why should I run? He got his stuff out and went back to work and continued right through Africa because he had the word of a gentleman. Lo, I am with thee always. Why do we rejoice? If we're in the mine, lo, I'm with thee always. If you're in the sea, he said, lo, I'm with thee always. If you're in perilous times, lo, I'm with thee always. If you're in hunger, he said, I'm with you. If you're in hardship, I'm with you. Wherever you're at, there I am, because I gave you my word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen, 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 amen. Well, glory, glory. Let me read to you my last few scriptures here. Turn to First Epistle of Peter, and you'll find in chapter 1 that the trial of your faith being much more, verse 7, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, preach with me, church, whom having not seen, ye love. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, church, do you believe that? Are you in love with him whom, having not seen, ye love? In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Man, I wish I had a New Testament church. That's New Testament church. That's 2,000 years ago, but that's New Testament church stuff. Unless you really believe in the coming of the Lord, you ain't got no reason to rejoice. If, amen, if you believe everything's got to get worse before they get better, you're going to get sadder and gloomier as the days go by. But if you believe, amen, that the imminent coming of the Lord is nigh, and the next thing that we see from heaven is going to be the shining face of the one whom we love and not have seen, yet we believe in, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, if we believe in the soon coming of the Son of Man, and that I'm going to see him with my own eyes, and I'm going to praise him with my own lips, and I'm going to stand in the courts of heaven and watch him crown Lord of Lords and King of Kings, then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do while I'm here. I'm going to rejoice with joy unspeakable. Amen. Chapter 4, amen, and verse 13 says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Woo! Amen. My, I need a New Testament church tonight to hold on to that scripture and say, well, Brother Benny, you don't know what I'm going through. Suffer with him, it said, and when he appears, you'll be glad. You'll be glad you went through it. You'll be glad you didn't give up. You'll be glad you went the extra mile. You'll be glad you believed it, acted it, amen, done it, forgave, amen, suffered and everything for his name. Oh, say you'll be glad when you see the smile of Jesus and you hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. You'll be glad then when you see gates of pearl, amen, a great garnished walls of heaven, and they open those gates and usher you in. You'll be glad when God opens up the dictionary, amen, and explains to you all the things that are now yours in a world, amen, without end. We'll have to have a brand new dictionary to understand the terminology of never ceasing, unspeakable joy that never ends, amen, of a peace that never is disquieted, of a body that never gets sick, of eyes that never get dim, of a body that never has a pain, of a land where there's never a graveyard, where there's never a wreath hung on a door, where there's never a sad person as far as you can see, where there's no lame, no blind, where you don't have to worry about the thief and the robber and the murderer and the rapist. There'll be none of them there, where there'll never be a gun fired in violence, and there'll never be a war and young men marching off. Oh, say I'll be glad when I've suffered through my trial here, that I can rejoice with joy unspeakable and it full of glory. John said in 1:4, 1 John 1:4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Think about that, Brother Frank. When we finally get there, Jesus is going to take us by the hand and lead us to the Father faultless. We know better than that, but he ain't going to tell on us because he's washed us, he's worked with us, and he finally got us where we ought to be. And now he's going to take us to the Father and say, Father, I'd like to present to you my son. And he's not going to do it with a bowed head, but with exceeding joy. He's going to present us faultless in that day. Oh, say, that's enough to make my feet just jump up and down and me to click my heels. Amen. Yes, it does. Oh, yes, it is, that I have such a friend in the court of heaven that's working towards one goal, and that's to get me faultless.
faultless. That he can take me one day right before the great God, who angels bow their head and cover their face and their feet and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And I'm going to walk into the presence of a God so holy that angels dare not look at him. And he's going to say, "Welcome home, son. I prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now enter into these joys. I've worked and I've worked and I've worked on you, but now my work is through and I present you to the Father faultless." Hallelujah. And if he can't find a fault in me, there won't be no devil there to find it. There won't be no hypocrite there to find it. There won't be no world there to find it. There'll be no demons there to find it. If Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee," wow, there'll be nobody there. Not the law, not Moses, not the prophets. There'll be nobody there but me and Jesus. And if Jesus presents me faultless, there'll be no fault in me in that day. Can you say amen? Amen. Woo! Thank God, Jesus. And Jesus gives me joy. A joy that'll never be taken from me. There's a lot of emotions that I've had in my life that I'll not get to take to heaven. Do you know that? Anger will never go to heaven. Pride will never go to heaven. Lust will never go to heaven. Those things, one day I walked in, but Jesus came into my life and he said, "I'm going to give you things you can take from earth to heaven." He said, "I'm going to give you peace. And when you get to heaven, you'll fit right in, for it's a world of peace. I'm going to give you joy." And he said, "In the presence of angels, there's rejoicing over one sinner." Amen. He said, "With this joy, you're going to fit right in among the angels and right among the citizens of heaven." Amen. Come on. And this righteousness, my, you've got to have this robe of righteousness. You've got to be robed in white. But he said, once you get there, there'll be no big I's and little U's. Brother Doug, say all you're going to say here, because we'll not hear no nonsense like that when we get to heaven. There won't be nobody bragging on nobody, because we're just going to be brethren. Amen. And we'll be glad that we got through, won't we? We're going to get up and praise the Lamb who is worthy, because he's got us a mighty long way. So if you're going to say anything on amen or brag on anybody or boast about anything, do it here, because when we get there, we're all going to have crowns. We're all going to have white robes. We're all going to be God's children. We're never going to die. Amen. There ain't going to be nobody bigger, nobody else. We're all going to rejoice over the same fact that Jesus brought us a mighty long way and got us through all that the world put against us. And we got victory over the devil, over the flesh, amen, and everything else. And we come out on the winning side because we rejoiced in him who was able to keep us. Can the church say amen? Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen.